Welcome to part two of our roundtable discussion of our all-time favorite video games. We are from aginggeekfully.blogspot.com. My name is John, or JD.
I'm Neil. I post as Mr. Neil ESQ.
And I'm Brando, and it's game systems we're talking about, not just games.
That's a good point. Game systems. So last week we did our number fives, and today we're going to do our number four. So for this week, we're going to start with Brando.
My number four, I'm going with the Sega Genesis. Was a very, upbeat system to come out.
It was a powerhouse in graphics and sound.
It was, cutting-edge technology at the time.
It does what Nintendo don't.
Had a very good, mascot. Sonic was, still a character to, this day and age you can still associate with Sega, even though they're out of the, the console business.
Gave video game mascots a little bit of an attitude instead of a goody-two-shoes.
Pretty decent cartoon. Too.
Yes, the cartoon was...
The cartoon series? With Jaleel White Urkel doing the voice?
Hey, it was a good cartoon.
A lot of marketing they got out of, actually,
That's very true.
Hey, my guy, chili dogs.
It was one of those systems where, it had a ton of games, and I didn't even remember till recently the Sega Channel. You could actually hook it up to your cable, and you could go online and download games and play them.
Now, Brandon, was that... I know that there were some of these download services were over the radio. You'd have, like, one time during the week where you actually download games. Was it that, or was it actually a phone system?
No, this was hooked up through the cable. You plugged it in.
Oh, the actual cable.
Your cable, and you could go on, and, there are so many games available. You could pick the ones you want. And I remember growing up, it was one of those things you always wanted to beat the games. And, we kind of take for granted the ability to save games now. Where, I remember I had a friend growing up who actually would, start playing Sonic on, like, a Saturday morning, and just keep pausing it whenever he had to, clean his room or, whatever his mom made him do. He would leave the whole thing on all weekend until he beat the game. Being able to save a game is something that's so huge now, but back then was so impossible.
And those codes, you remember the codes? The 20-letter codes, some were lowercase, some were capital, some were numbers, and you had to put them in to get back to where you were playing, and if you screwed up...
You'd have to start the game from the beginning.
Tough luck. But yeah, the Genesis was such a great system for its time. So, Neil, what was your number four?
My number four is a bit more contemporary, the Nintendo Wii, with its motion controls. And just in general, I think it was a very good array of games. They all pretty much focus on the multiplayer aspect. You go back to Wii Sports, and you have people who aren't naturally gamers. They want to play. You can play against the most hardcore gamers, and everyone is on an equal footing. You have some great online titles. Online is not brilliantly implemented, but it works. It's very functional. With Brawl, Mario Kart, these games are great to play in a local setting. You have New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is one of the most fun platformers I've ever played.
You say in a local setting, but for a gamer like me, being able to play online is not normally local, and that's my biggest problem with Wii and Nintendo right now, is they actually make multiplayer difficult, I think, whereas, the Xbox and the PlayStation make it very simple.
Indeed. The very idea that you have to have a system code, a friend code per game, and the very idea that you can't, even with that, you can't interact, you can't write text, very few games support the microphone, it is very poorly implemented, and Nintendo is kind of telling people what they want. But other than that, the system itself, the games are a lot of fun.
I think that kind of makes the Wii, I'm not trying to say, obviously, we've all played the Wii, but I think it's a very kid-friendly.
Absolutely, and another point is for elderly people, too. It's an excellent system, and it helps them improve their motor skills. However, one person that doesn't like the Wii is our own Brando.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Wii. It's, Nintendo has, they have the characters going for them, but that's really all Nintendo has right now. I think once we start seeing Xbox and PlayStation come out with their own motion controllers... you're pretty much going to be able to do anything you can do with a Wii on any other system.
You might be able to, but you have to understand this is just another case where everyone clones Nintendo once they have huge financial success with motion controls, and I think the fad is fizzling at this point. I don't think that it's
going
to sustain.
And that's why I think it's going to be time soon for Nintendo to come out with the next thing, and I'm interested to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Wii for a little while, but really, it's just as someone who plays a lot of video games, it's really lost its luster.
The titles at this point are at a slowdown. The Wii, actually, with all Nintendo consoles, they really rely on that first party push. You have very few third-party games that aren't developed by Nintendo that are very high quality, but those that are kind of carry the system for me, at least.
My fourth for this week would be the Intellivision, which for its time was quite the powerhouse video game wise. It was far superior graphically and sound-wise when compared to the Atari 2600, for example. For me, it was really my first introduction to video games. We got that when I was really young. I must have been like 5, I think, when we got it. And I spent so much time playing simple games like Frog Bog, which is a game I'd play with my siblings where we'd be frogs trying to catch bugs at night, and, you know, sports games and all this stuff. And me and my siblings and I used to just sit around playing it all the time. And it was really just my first real introduction into a game system. And I have a lot of fond memories of it.
And, you know, there's a fair number of good arcade ports. I think it kind of was a little weaker when it came to original titles. I think it had a tendency to knock off, like, Atari 2600 games. You know, Frogs and Flies is just pretty much a copy of Frog Bog. Beauty and the Beast is pretty much just Donkey Kong. But it was definitely a system that had much more power in graphics and animation than, you know, the Atari 2600. It was very comparable to the ColecoVision, but it had its own strengths.
And just, if you really want to see a comparison, compare the ice hockey game between Atari 2600 and the Intellivision
game. Or you look at the football game on the Atari 2600. It's like three guys running in a line whose legs don't even move. Compare that to the game on Intellivision. It's no contest.
Intellivision came out 79, just a little bit before my years. But, you know, I do think if you look at Intellivision, you know, Intellivision gave us one of the greatest things that I think, you know, directional pad on the controller was a huge innovation.
Well, was it like a disc? Because I know there was an overlay system on it.
Yeah, it was a disc, and attached to the controller was actually very large, and at the top it had a number pad that you would actually slide. With the game, each thing would come with a thing you'd put over the number pads, and you could do various things with the buttons. So there was really a lot to the Intellivision controller, and it was kind of groundbreaking at the time.
Until you lost one of those overlays, and you were kind of lost.
So this was our number four game systems this week. Thank you for joining us. This is, again, aginggeekfully.blogspot.com, and we'll be back soon with our number threes.